So on this very important weekend, my husband and I did what we always do every year. Yesterday, we debated whether to have pizza or wings today while we watched the Super Bowl. And then he asked me a very deep question. He said, "Do you think that there's a Super Bowl in heaven?" Actually, I had heard an answer to that question, which I gave to him. I heard that there is indeed a Super Bowl in heaven and that Jesus attends it. And that last year when he attended, it was down to the Christians and the Jews. They were the two top teams. So the Christians made the first touchdown. They ran down the field, made the first touchdown, and Jesus just went wild. He jumped out of his seat just cheering, "Go Christians, go Christians," just so excited. But then the Jews came back, and they took the ball the other direction, and didn't they make a touchdown as well? And Jesus, again, jumped out of his seat, so excited. "Go, Jews! Go, Jews! That's fantastic!" And this went on throughout the game. Every time either team would make a score, Jesus would just go wild, cheering for them. First the Christians and the Jews, and the Christians and the Jews, back and forth. Finally, two angels in front of him turned around and said, "Hey, man, who are you for, anyway, the Christians or the Jews?" And Jesus said, "You know what? I'm for everybody." And the angel said to the other one, "I thought he was an atheist." The truth is, we don't really like to be for everybody. We are kind of like to be for our own group. Like, how many of you today are cheering for both the Eagles and the Patriots? One person, all right, two people. I got two people. We tend to go with the group of people that we like, that we're comfortable with, that we're familiar with. Goodbye. And this past Wednesday, unfortunately, we heard that message in our State of the Union address. It was more of the message of be for America, America first. But not only America first, but be afraid of people who are different than us, especially if they are in our country already. It was a litany of terrorists, criminals, drug-addicted mothers, North Koreans, Russians, Chinese, Obama, Mexicans, El Salvadorans, and Democrats. And the message was clearly we need to protect ourselves from them, build a wall to keep them out. Right now, our political system cannot get anything done because the rule is you can only listen to someone who is the same as you. So if you are a Democrat, you can only listen to a Democrat and vote for a Democratic bill. If you're a Republican, you can only listen to a Republican and vote for a Republican bill. And the question that's asked is, how will this help me when I vote, rather than how is this going to help the people or the world? But like Jesus at the Super Bowl, God is precisely the one who is for everybody. If you are for Christ, you cannot divide up the field. If you are only for a small group of people, you are not for Christ. That is the opposite of who God is. If you are for the whole and for always making the whole bigger and bigger and bigger, then you understand what it means to be part of the body of Christ. It is too bad that as Christians we have to keep relearning that message. How could we possibly think that Christ would only care about one race, one group, one nation, one class, or one religion? Clearly, to be for Christ is to be for all of the people. That is the message of the gospel. Father Richard Rohr, who's a Franciscan author and speaker, says, "Most religious people are very invested in the status quo, business as usual. I don't want to change anything." He said, "You change one little thing in the Mass that people aren't used to, and they report you to the bishop." I don't know if that's really true in this community, you know. This community kind of likes to mix things up, which is a good thing, because every time we do that, we are adjusting ourselves to being able to change, to be flexible. But when we don't do that, it is a sign of people who are not growing and are not growing up. Because life at every level, all of the time, is change, change, and more change. And if you don't learn to adjust the change, you remain at the emotional level of a young teenager. You can be my age, but still be infantile in your thinking. People are elderly, but they are not elders. They've lived a long time, but they haven't changed, so they haven't grown up very much. Jesus is a person who changes things. In this story today in the scripture, he's in the town of Capernaum. He's healing people. It says the whole town, everybody is there being healed. So they're very excited about him. This is a very successful moment for Jesus, and the disciples are just loving it. The next morning, Jesus does what he often does in terms of when things are both difficult and successful. He goes off and prays. So the disciples wake up. They can't find him. They're very upset. And when he comes back, they rebuke him. Where have you been? Everybody's looking for you. Everybody wants you to heal them. That people are so excited to see you, Jesus. Where have you been? And what is his answer? His answer is, pack up. We're going to the next town. They don't want to do that. This is a place where everybody likes us. Why do we want to go to the next town? Maybe they won't like us there. Where are we going to stay? What are we going to eat? They don't want to make that change. They would rather stay where they are because it's comfortable. But Jesus wants to go to the next group of people. This week I had breakfast with Reverend Denise Donato. She is going to be ordained a bishop this Friday at our they're using our church for that ordination. It's Friday night at 6 o'clock, and everybody is welcome to come to that. So we had a breakfast and talked about it, and she told me that she had resisted being a bishop for a long time. She said, I was very happy being a priest and also having additional time to be with my grandchildren. And she said, and then I realized that I just hadn't even let myself be open to it. So she agreed to pray about it. She said, when I began to pray about it, I became overwhelmed with the reasons to say yes. So I did say yes, and now I'm going to be ordained. But she said, this is what I learned from that. If you like your life the way it is, if you're happy with the way things are, do not talk to God about it. Do not talk to God about it. God will change things. So how do we open ourselves to change? Like Denise, we might ask ourselves a question, what is it that God is calling me to do? We all have gifts that are unique to each one of us, talents and skills, our own personality, our own set of experiences. And so when we are thinking to ourselves, what is God calling me to? It is usually something that is in line with the gifts that we have. I've never had an auto mechanic tell me that God called them to be a nurse. Like, God is excited about who we are and the gifts we have. And so we might ask ourselves, what am I really passionate about? What do I love to do? What are my strongest gifts and talents? And if we don't know what that is, a good way to find out is to ask three people that know you well, because sometimes other people know us better than we know ourselves. You can also ask them what you need to work on, and they will tell you that too. They will also know that as well. But when you ask, you need to be ready to change. It's important to remember that when we are called to a new direction, to a new location, or to be with new people, that God will be with us. Martin Luther King was already a wonderful pastor and preacher when he began to feel the call to really speak out for civil rights. But he got many threatening phone calls, and he began to wonder if he was up for that. So he spent a night, he said, praying at his kitchen table. He put his head in his hands. He was crying. He was talking to God. And he said, God, I don't think I can do this. He wrote that he heard a voice, and the voice said to him, I will be with you. I will never leave you alone. I will be with you. And he said that was a turning point for him, because once he knew deep within himself that God would always be with him, then he was willing and able to keep going. I think that is really important for us to know. When God is calling us to something, he will never abandon us. God will be with us. We have God's strength to draw on. To be open to change, we have to also be willing to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes it's hard for us to do that because we're comfortable doing what we already know how to do. Some people watch television every night, not because they particularly like the show that's on that night, but because it's comfortable. And they don't feel they have the energy to try something new, to get up, leave the house, or find a book to read. We can get into a rut of doing the same thing simply because we know how to do it. And so when we're being called to something new, we have to be willing to stretch ourselves, to move into something that might not be as comfortable. Sometimes we want to move on, but we want to take where we've been with us. A woman came in to talk to me about her husband, who had told her that he wanted a vacation from marriage. He wanted to go out. He wanted to stay married, but go out and date people for a while. She said to him, "You don't take a vacation from marriage. You made the decision to leave that behind when you got married." And that's right. When you get married, you leave the single life behind. You don't take it with you into the next relationship. Sometimes we move on to a new job, but we're still calling up to see what's going on at the old job. Or we leave a relationship, but we send a text message to the old girlfriend or boyfriend just to see if they're still thinking about us. Or we step into retirement and spend time criticizing the person who replaced us. I am not going to do that, by the way. In order to move on to what we are called to do, we have to let the past go. It is done. It is behind us. It is no longer a part of what we are about. So we need to let it go and be present to what is directly in front of us. And when we open ourselves to change, we grow. It's exciting what happens when we grow. Jean Vanier, the founder of the L'Arche Communities, told this story about one of the men that he worked with. He said the man had a very big business. He had an important job, traveled around the world, and had access to really everything he wanted. But his wife fell sick with Alzheimer's, and he really struggled with leaving that job behind. Finally, he decided to quit his job, to stay home and take care of her. He said, "I kept her with me. I fed her. I bathed her. I put her to bed at night." And he told his friend, Jean Vanier, "I have changed. I have become more human." At one point in the middle of the night, his wife woke him up. She had come out of the fog of Alzheimer's for just a moment. And she said to him, "Darling, I just want to say thank you for all you are doing for me." And then she fell back into the fog. He said he wept and wept and wept, but he knew that he had made the decision to be in the right place. We will know when we are in the right place. Somebody's not in the right place up there. Some little baby. We know that when we change, it can also help others to grow. Sometimes the work that we are doing, we are in the right place, but the work needs to be transformed. The man who conducts the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra is a man by the name of Benjamin Zander. For many years, he also taught at the New England Conservatory of Music, and every year he would get a crop of new musicians that were the very best in the country. They were the best violinists, the best drummers, the best flautists. And he said that when they would come in September, the most difficult thing about the group was not their playing ability, that was excellent, but it was their competitiveness. They were used to being at the top, used to getting an A, and they were competing with each other. So he decided to make a big change. He gathered them all together at the beginning of the semester, and he told them that everybody was going to get an A. They already had it. And he said the music changed dramatically. It became more passionate, more beautiful, more alive. He himself changed from being preoccupied with his conducting and getting the right notes to really being interested in the musicians. And he pointed out that the conductor never plays a single note. They only draw it out from the musicians. The best review he said he ever got was not from a music critic, but from his father. His father was 94 years old at the time and completely blind. He attended one of Zander's master classes, sat there in his wheelchair for 3 hours, and when the class was over, his father lifted up his finger in his very characteristic way, and he said, "I see that you are actually a member of the healing profession." Zander said it was the highest accolade he had ever been given, to go from being a conductor to a member of the healing profession. When my son Matt was in the third grade, he came home one afternoon and got his crayons out and was making all kinds of pictures. And when he was done with the pictures, he put them into his backpack. And I asked him what he was going to do with them. He said he wanted to give them to somebody at school. And so I asked, "Who are you going to give them to?" And he replied, "The milk lady. She really loves my artwork." The milk lady was a member of the healing profession. Sometimes changing is just a matter of hooking up with what we are already called to do. We know what it is. We know what is required of us. But perhaps we have some resistance to it, something that's holding us back or something that keeps us from wanting to go there. I remember a story about Mother Teresa, who hated to be in the limelight. She just did not want to do it. And at one point, a British team came to make a documentary of her. She asked her sisters to be in the movie, to leave her out of it. But they finally convinced her that it would be good for the ministry. So she sighed, and she said to the film crew, "Okay, then. Let's do something beautiful for God." Sometimes when God is asking us to change, we just have to hook up with the request and say, "Okay, I'm with you, God. Let's do something beautiful for the world."